sûr qu'ils auront tout.
Yeah, I know that, but yeah, that's what you told them, huh? I see what happened to you.
I can't sing, she can't sing.
We'll wait until later.
Amen.
When you just going, you close it back to, you close it back the way the Lord leads you.
You know, Brother Donnie was talking about something a while ago that I want to just say a little more about it and tell you what the Bible tells us about this. It's nothing that he said was wrong. It's nothing that I'm going to say that I hope offends him, because I'm not, don't mean to, and I hope I don't. But you know, he was talking about the way things are now. And how true that is, we've been knowing it for a long time, that it's coming. Because God's Word said it was. The Bible tells us, and I'm not going to use this as my message, but I want to just share this with you. If you want to, you can be turning to the book of Isaiah 19 and also Nahum chapter 1. Put your finger at one and turn to the other one. But I want to share this with you. Here's what the Bible says about the last days. And what he was talking about simply shows us that we are in the last days. The Bible tells us that this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Surely they're here tonight. When North Carolina governor says that we're going to have to follow and take some statues down. He said that on TV, on Twitter, okay? It was on TV. And Maryland, today Baltimore, took 4 down. All of these, those statues are representing our history. And I know that they're trying to make it a racism problem, and it's not. It says here, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Mm-hmm. How true that is today. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And let me stop right there and say to you, you know, when we go to the ball game and get excited, we'll say, and we come to the house of God and we get excited. And I'm like the fellow said one time, he said, I think I'm going to shout. He said, woo. And that's the way it is this day and time. But you know, God's got something that we can shout about. Amen. And enjoy God's blessings. But the reason that these things are happening today is in this same chapter that I want to read to you. And that is in verse 5 of 2 Timothy. You don't have to turn there, but we're going to get to the message in just a minute. But I feel like this could be a message to us also. This is just a little sermonette maybe. But it says here, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Isn't that the way it is today? People claim to be saved, and you can ask anybody almost that you want to, like he said a while ago. You can ask most anybody that you want to, are they saved? You ask them that, and they say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We sometimes ought to go a little bit farther, maybe, and tell them to give us a little example of how they got saved. Mm-hmm. That would make them think a little bit, wouldn't it? Probably embarrass them too, and that's all right too. We need to embarrass some people also. Not meaning to, maybe, but we should, you know, let people know whose side we are on, in other words. Amen. All right. That's sermon number one. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah first, chapter 19. I want to read one verse of scripture there. In Isaiah chapter 19, verse 1. And then we're going to turn over to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. 19, verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the isles of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Now, Nahum, in chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 1, just read down through verse 3, using verse 3 as my text, but I think this Isaiah 19, verse 1, goes along with verse 3 of Nahum chapter 1. But in verse 1 it says, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he will reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, amen, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of trying to encourage these people tonight that are here. And Lord, we ask that you just bless each one of them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the words tonight that's needed, that we can help them to be strengthened in the Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's one lost without Christ, that you save them tonight. Lord, I believe that everybody does tonight say and know, realize and say that they're saved. But thank you for that. But Lord, we pray that you would just help them, because we're living in the last days and we're living in perilous times. And you said it would be perilous times in the last days. And Lord, we can look around and see a whole lot of things that are happening that we wouldn't think would have happened 25 years ago or maybe 5 years ago. But Lord, we pray that you would just have your hand upon these things, Lord. And we know that you have. We know that you're still in control, Lord. You're still the power of this world today, Lord. We know that. We know, Lord, that you know what's going on. And we ask that you just take care of the situations, Lord. Help us to look up to you, from which cometh all of our health and all of our strength. Touch those that are sick tonight. And Father, preach through us as you would have us to preach tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's go back to verse 3 just for a minute. The Bible says the Lord is slow to anger. And surely we know that he is, do we not? The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And we realize tonight that we're serving a great God. We're serving an awesome God. We're serving one that knows all things, and he's in control of all things, and he has power over all things. And it goes on to say, "And will not in all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." I want to use that last few phrase, that few parts of those that verse there for my message tonight. And if I was going to name this message, I believe I would name it, "When God Saddles Up the Storm." When God saddles up the storm, what would life be without storms? I hear people say that the answer was given when somebody asked them, and they said it would be heaven. And I'm sure that they meant well, and I can understand what they were saying. And thank God, it would be heaven, I'm sure. But Nahum and Isaiah here lived at the same time, but they had different people to preach to in different places. So, yet both of them spoke of the same thing in these verses of Scripture that I read. Storms. We all have storms to come in our life, don't we? If we're not in a storm now, we're going into a storm before long. We're either coming out of a storm, or we're going in a storm, or we are in a storm. Just as simple as I know how to put it. But you see, there's not a person that I know of on the face of this earth that does not have some kind of storm, sometimes or another in their life, and more times than not. Now my wife and I have hit some few storms, not among ourselves. We get along fairly well to be old married people. But with other people and with other parts of our family, we've had some storms to come in our life here lately. But you know, God is still in control. And we always try to look at that. When I'm getting down and out, she says, "Honey, God's still in control." And it helps me. She is my helpmate, and that's the way it ought to be. I ought to be her helpmate. She ought to be my helpmate. And so we try our best to do this. God is riding out those particular storms in our life, and he is going to take care of every one of them. I believe that as much as I believe that I'm standing here behind this pulpit desk tonight. And you see, Webster's Dictionary tells us that a storm is an atmospheric disturbance. I'll give you a little history along with this, okay? All right, atmospheric disturbance. And that at any given time, there is as many as 2,000 storms brewing in the atmosphere and on the earth. Now, when a person thinks about that, let me say to you, I believe that is really what we need in our life today. Storms draw us closer to the Lord if we let him. Yes. And if we let him and storms draw us closer, then we go through those storms, we get out of those storms, and we're closer to the Lord. Yes. I realize, too, that a lot of times when we're in a storm, we are closer to the Lord than we are out of a storm. When things begin to look better in our life, and it seems to be going better in our life, then we sometimes have the tendency to just kind of step back a little bit away from the Lord, don't we? I'm just being honest with you tonight. I'm talking to you from my heart. I'm that way sometimes. And if you'll be honest with me, I believe you would say the same thing, wouldn't you? Sure you would. Now, there are three things that will trigger a storm. First of all, it's a warm front that clashes with a cold front. We have a storm. A high pressure front clashes with a low pressure front. We have a storm. And a moist front clashes with a dry front, and we'll have a storm. Do we not? Now, when God rides a storm into our life, as the Bible says, he rode in of storm, He has definitely got a plan for us. So when you get a storm in your life, try to not think about that storm as much as you do what's God's plan for me in this storm. I believe it'll help you a lot if you'll just think that. You see, God's got a plan when He rides a storm in our life. And let's see tonight, now, if we can develop this thing right here that we're talking about, this thought for a little while. I'm not going to hold you long, but I'm going to try to help you a little bit. There's a purpose in the storms. Now, He wants to spend more time with us when He rides in on a storm. It was in the storm in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, that Jesus came unto His disciples in the fourth watch. Mm-hmm. I was reading that this afternoon. And it was in a storm that the angel of the Lord came to Paul and assured him of some things in Acts chapter 24. Now it was in a storm that the disciples cried out to Him, saying, Master, carest not that we perish? Found in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. It was in a storm that the disciples realized how helpless they really were without Jesus Christ. And that's found in Matthew chapter 14, verse 24. Now, He wants to spend some time with them, and He also wants to spend some time with us tonight and throughout the rest of the time of our life. He wants to spend some time with us. Friends, we're serving an awesome God, are we not? We're serving a powerful God. He's the one that's able to do anything and everything. So therefore, we need to spend a little bit of time with Him. As those there wanted to spend some time, He wanted to spend some time with these that I mentioned. He wants to spend some time with us also tonight. Now, not only did He have a purpose, but He's got a plan. You see, is this my water?
Yeah.
Thank you. I thought I saw you drinking out of it a while ago. I'm just kidding. He's got a plan also. You know what that plan is? He wants to teach us that His grace is sufficient. And let me say to you tonight, His grace is sufficient for all our needs. Amen. You see, I'll give you a few little illustrations or examples from God's Word. Hosea's wife was unfaithful. Ezekiel's wife died, but he kept preaching. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, but he pressed on. Even though he asked the Lord, would He remove that thorn? God told him His grace was sufficient for all things, all his needs. So I believe when God told him that, he forgot about that thorn and kept on serving the Lord. In fact, he probably was closer to the Lord then than he was just before that, when he had that thorn in the flesh and he let it bother him a little bit. So you see, here's some incidents here. Jairus' daughter brought him to Jesus, and he came and he cried and he continued. But there was a plan there. He wanted to teach us and them that His grace is sufficient. Amen. All right, let's go on. There's a preparation here also. Let me go back. Purpose, there's a plan, and there is a preparation. If we go to heaven, we're going to have to prepare to go to heaven, right? Well, when God rides out a storm, He wants to show us that He's still on the throne. So we have to prepare. While John was in prison, Jesus sent word in Luke chapter 7:22. It said, then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see. See, he had taught him, or told him that, you know, he had touched the blind. There were different ways that he touched the blind. There was one time that he reached down and spit on the ground and made some mud and rubbed it in a blind man's eyes. And he could be able to see. He healed him doing that. We know from God's word that he could have just said, "Be ye healed of that blindness," but he didn't. He had a purpose in doing what he doing. He wanted to show the other people that he could be doing, in other words. He said, "You've seen and you've heard how that the blind see, how that the lame walk, how that the lepers are cleansed, how the deaf hear, how the dead are raised, and how to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Hey. You see, God's blessing us, isn't he? Mm-hmm. How many of you can say to the fact that God is blessing you? Would you raise your hand? Sure, he's blessing every one of us, isn't he? Praise the Lord. I'm glad that we have a Savior that wants to bless us. Even sometimes he blesses us in spite of us. And it's a blessing when God loves us enough to bless us. He blesses us on the way to heaven, and he got a greater blessing when we get to heaven. So what have we got to be concerned about when storms come in our life? He is the power over the storms. Mm-hmm. Is he not? Sure he is. See, the Bible tells us here that God was still on the throne while Paul was in prison. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to show them that he is still on the throne. He wants to show us tonight that he's still on the throne. Even though he lives within my heart, he's still on the throne. You tell me how that is. I can tell you. He's God. He's everywhere. He's in our presence tonight. You may not feel him, but I do. I believe he's here with us. Well, if he lives in our heart, we ought to brought him in.
Right.
But you know, this is a pretty church, but it's the building and all. But it's not the church, is it? We the people are the church. Right. And when we have God in our heart, then he's present with us at all times.
Yes.
So if he's with us at all times, then he's present with us tonight. And you can feel the presence of God a lot of times if you'll just open up to him and let Jesus Christ have his way in your life and get closer to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that there's not a person in this room tonight or this church tonight that is as close to the Lord as they ought to be. I don't care who you are. You can be Donnie Mahan. He's not as close to the Lord as he ought to be. James Albert is not close to the Lord as he ought to be. But I strive to do and be like him, because he tells us to do that. You see, the Bible tells us to be holy as I am holy. Now, he'll prepare you for eternity if you will just come to him, and he will give you peace. And that's the next thing I want to talk to you about. He wants to show you there's peace in the midst of the fire. If I say so, excuse what I say the way I say it. But if I say so, all hell broke loose in Mary's soul when she looked up and saw her son crucified. I believe that. I can't imagine how she felt. But I do know when I get to thinking about it, it just breaks my heart. But thank God that he was willing to do so. Yes. Yeah. Amen. You see, she looked up, she saw her son crucified. Some of you may have had to give up a child, or maybe something else happened in your life that you had to give up something to someone. Maybe your mom, your dad, your parents. But you see, the disciples went through the fire when the Lord was hanging on the cross. You see, there's peace in the midst of the storm. And you know, thank God the story didn't end there, did it? At the cross, as important as that is, it didn't end there. He arose. Hallelujah, he arose.
Amen.
And he lives today.
Yes.
And he'll ever live today. Tomorrow, the next day. I say today because when we get to heaven, it's going to be one big day. There'll be no time there. But can you imagine when we get to heaven, we hear him say, "Enter in thy good and faithful servant into the joy of this land." We step through those pearly gates. Can you imagine what God has prepared for us that are his children? So I encourage you tonight, we've got a better place to go to. So let's just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. This church has been going through a storm as far as the attendance is concerned. I understand that. And probably some other things that it's been going through with. But that light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
God's still in the control. He's still on the throne. Things are going to happen one of these days. There's an empty tomb and a risen Savior. An empty tomb and a risen Savior. That ought to make an old dry Baptist shout to know that we've got somebody living in our heart that's going to carry us to a place whose builder and maker is God. Where it's perfect up there. And let me say to you, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, golden day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now, let's look at our provisions. Provisions for the soul. You see, he wants to show, not on the lost person, but the saved person, he cares for you. He cares for every one of us, doesn't he? You see, he cared for King Agrippa. There's that man, King Agrippa, that says, as a storm raised in his soul, he said, still He said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then there was Felix. He cared for Felix, and a storm was raging in his soul. But you know what he said? He looked for that more convenient day, because he said that more convenient season. That more convenient season I call upon you. Sad, sad words, wasn't it? He cared for the rich young ruler. You know the story there. And not only that, I ask you this question. Who cares for you? Who cares for you? I can tell you who cares for you. God the Father cares for you. God the Son cares for you. God the Holy Spirit cares for you. The Church of Born Again Christians cares for you. And we that are born again preachers of the gospel care for you. This man right here cares for you. And I believe that much as I believe I'm standing here right now. He cares for you. But most of all, God cares for you.
Amen.
So let's just, when storms come in our life, let's look up to Jesus. Because he may be riding that storm into your life that you might learn something, or you might come out of that storm a better Christian. It could be several reasons why. Let me say to you, God doesn't put them storms in your life every time. Sometimes they're storms because of our own making. But he's there at every storm that we have, because he's with us in every situation. And listen, anything that happens to you is no accident with God. He knows, and he's going to look after you. And so let's just put our trust in him and trust him for great things in the future, even though the world looks like it's turning upside down. You know, the church is not going down. It's going up.
Amen.
And I don't believe it's going to be very long. It could be just any time now. So with your head bowed and eyes closed, Father, again, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we've had tonight to preach the gospel. Lord, it may be feeble, but Lord, we thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just have your right of way in every heart and every life. Lord, help us all to look up to you, from which cometh all of our health and all of our strength, Lord. And thank you for everything you do, because we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother Donnie.